The next chamber was so dark they couldn't see anything at all. But as they stepped into it, light suddenly flooded the room to reveal an astonishing sight. They were standing on the edge of a huge chessboard, behind the black chessmen, which were all taller than they were, and carved from what looked like black stone. Facing them, way across the chamber, were the white pieces. Harry, Ron, and Hermione shivered slightly. The towering white chessmen had no faces. "Now what do we do?" Harry whispered. "It's obvious, isn't it?" said Ron. "We've got to play our way across the room." Behind the white pieces they could see another door. "How?" said Hermione nervously. "I think," said Ron, "we're going to have to be chessmen." He walked up to a black knight and put his hand out to touch the knight's horse. At once the stone sprang to life. The horse pawed the ground, and the knight turned his helmeted head to look down at Ron. "Do we, have to join you to get across?" The black knight nodded. Ron turned to the other two. "This wants thinking about," he said. "I suppose we've got to take the place of three of the black pieces." Harry and Hermione stayed quiet, watching Ron think. Finally, he said, "Now, don't be offended or anything, but neither of you are that good at chess." "We're not offended," said Harry quickly. "Just tell us what to do." "Well, Harry, you take the place of that bishop, and Hermione, you go next to him, instead of that castle." "What about you?" "I'm going to be a knight," said Ron. The chessmen seemed to have been listening, because at these words a knight, a bishop, and a castle turned their backs on the white pieces and walked off the board, leaving three empty squares, which Harry, Ron, and Hermione took. "White always plays first in chess," said Ron, peering across the board. "Yes, look!" A white pawn had moved forward two squares. Ron started to direct the black pieces. They moved silently wherever he sent them. Harry's knees were trembling. What if they lost? "Harry, move diagonally four squares to the right." Their first real shock came when their other knight was taken. The white queen smashed him to the floor and dragged him off the board, where he lay quite still, face down. "Had to let that happen," said Ron, looking shaken. "Leaves you free to take that bishop, Hermione. Go on." Every time one of their men was lost, the white pieces showed no mercy. Soon there was a huddle of limp black players slumped along the wall. Twice Ron only just noticed in time that Harry and Hermione were in danger. He himself darted around the board, taking almost as many white pieces as they had lost black ones. "We're nearly there," he muttered suddenly. "Let me think. Let me think." The white queen turned her blank face towards him. "Yes," said Ron softly. "It's the only way. I've got to be taken." "No!" Harry and Hermione shouted. "That's chess," snapped Ron. "You've got to make some sacrifices. I take one step forward and she'll take me. That leaves you free to checkmate the king, Harry." "But do you want to stop Snape or not?" "Ron, look, if you don't hurry up, he'll already have the stone." There was nothing else for it. "Ready?" Ron called, his face pale but determined. "Here I go. Now, don't hang around once you've won." He stepped forward, and the White Queen pounced. She struck Ron hard around the head with her stone arm, and he crashed to the floor. Hermione screamed, but stayed on her square. The White Queen dragged Ron to one side. He looked as if he'd been knocked out. Shaking, Harry moved three spaces to the left. The White King took off his crown and threw it at Harry's feet. They had won. The chessmen parted and bowed, leaving the door ahead clear. With one last desperate look back at Ron, Harry and Hermione charged through the door and up the next passageway.
"What if he's—"
"He'll be all right," said Harry, trying to convince himself.
"What do you reckon's next?"
"We've had Sprouts. That was the devil's snare. Flitwick must have put charms on the keys. McGonagall transfigured the chessmen to make them alive. That leaves Quirrell's spell and Snape's." They had reached another door.
"All right," Harry whispered. "Go on."
Harry pushed it open. A disgusting smell filled their nostrils, making both of them pull their robes up over their noses. Eyes watering, they saw, flat on the floor in front of them, a troll, even larger than the one they had tackled, out cold, with a bloody lump on its head.
"I'm glad we didn't have to fight that one,"
Harry whispered, as they stepped carefully over one of its massive legs.
"Come on, I can't breathe."
He pulled open the next door, both of them hardly daring to look at what came next. But there was nothing very frightening in here. Just a table with seven differently shaped bottles standing on it in a line.
"Snape's,"
said Harry.
"What do we have to do?"
They stepped over the threshold, and immediately a fire sprang up behind them in the doorway. It wasn't ordinary fire, either. It was purple. At the same instant, black flames shot up in the doorway leading onwards. They were trapped.
"Look!"
Hermione seized a roll of paper lying next to the bottles. Harry looked over her shoulder to read it. "Danger lies before you, while safety lies behind. Two of us will help you, whichever you would find. One among us seven will let you move ahead. Another will transport the drinker back instead. Two among our number hold only nettle wine. Three of us are killers, waiting hidden in line. Choose, unless you wish to stay here forevermore. To help you in your choice, we give you these clues four. First, however slyly the poison tries to hide, you will always find some on Nettlewine's left side. Second, different are those who stand at either end, but if you would move onwards, neither is your friend. Third, as you see clearly, all are different size. Neither dwarf nor giant holds death in their insides. Fourth, the second left and the second on the right are twins once you taste them, though different at first sight." Hermione let out a great sigh, and Harry, amazed, saw that she was smiling, the very last thing he felt like doing.
"Brilliant," said Hermione. "This isn't magic, it's logic, a puzzle. A lot of the greatest wizards haven't got an ounce of logic. They'd be stuck in here forever."
"But so will we, won't we?"
"Of course not," said Hermione. "Everything we need is here on this paper. Seven bottles, three are poison, two are wine. One will get us safely through the black fire, and one will get us back through the purple."
"But how do we know which to drink?"
"Give me a minute."
Hermione read the paper several times. Then she walked up and down the line of bottles, muttering to herself and pointing at them. At last she clapped her hands.
"Got it," she said. "The smallest bottle will get us through the black fire, towards the stone."
Harry looked at the tiny bottle.
"There's only enough there for one of us," he said. "That's hardly one swallow."
They looked at each other.
"Which one will get you back through the purple flames?"
Hermione pointed at a rounded bottle at the right end of the line.
"You drink that," said Harry. "No, listen, get back and get Ron. Grab brooms from the flying key room. They'll get you out of the trap door and past Fluffy. Go straight to the owlery and send Hedwig to Dumbledore. We need him. I might be able to hold Snape off for a while, but I'm no match for him, really."
"But, Harry, what if... you know who's with him?"
"Well, I was lucky once, wasn't I?" said Harry, pointing at his scar. "I might get lucky again."
Hermione's lip trembled, and she suddenly dashed at Harry and threw her arms around him.
"Hermione!"
"Harry, you're a great wizard, you know."
"I'm not as good as you,"
said Harry, very embarrassed, as she let go of him.
Me, said Hermione, books and cleverness. There are more important things, friendship and bravery. And, oh, Harry, be careful.
You drink first, said Harry.
You are sure which is which, aren't you?
Positive, said Hermione.
She took a long drink from the round bottle at the end and shuddered.
It's not poison, said Harry, anxiously.
No, but it's like ice.
Quick, go before it wears off.
Good luck. Take care. Go!
Hermione turned and walked straight through the purple fire. Harry took a deep breath and picked up the smallest bottle. He turned to face the black flames.
Here I come, he said,
and he drained the little bottle in one gulp. It was indeed as though ice was flooding his body. He put the bottle down and walked forward. He braced himself, saw the black flames licking his body, but couldn't feel them. For a moment he could see nothing but dark fire. Then he was on the other side, in the last chamber. There was already someone there. But it wasn't Snape. It wasn't even Voldemort.